back to Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to read a few more verses there, beginning in verse 24. You read Daniel's prayer that preceded this. And then begins in verse 24. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. There are six things in that verse that need to come to pass. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the coming to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now we refer to that as Daniel's 70-week prophecy. Well, last Wednesday evening we saw where Jesus was given the title deed for the earth. He was the only one who was found worthy to loose the seals. And as we come to chapter 6 of Revelation, don't turn there, we won't get that far tonight. It becomes apparent that we have reached the heart of the book of Revelation. As John beholds the Lord Jesus Christ, represented by the Lamb, breaking the seal, we then encounter the first of a long series of events that begin in heaven and are consummated on the earth. A seal is broken in heaven, and a horseman appears on the earth. A second seal is broken in heaven, and it introduces tragedy on the earth, and it goes through like that. With the breaking of the first seal and the appearance of the first of the horsemen of what we refer to as the apocalypse, the dreaded period known as the tribulation period will begin. Now, the seven-year span of the future world history is depicted for you if you start reading in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1 and go through the end of chapter 19, will be the darkest time that this world has ever known. Now, we talk about in history about the Dark Ages, about the Spanish Inquisition and all of that stuff. This is going to be worse. And when you think about the Dark Ages, where 50 million Christians were martyred, mostly by Rome, this is really a bad period of time. The tribulation is one of the most significant periods of God's dealings with humankind, and certainly it occupies a very prominent place in God's prophetic plan, which I think we all know that. The truth is, more space is dedicated to the scroll and the seven-year period than any other seven-year period anywhere in the Bible. And I think that's kind of obvious to see. In the Old Testament, it's called the day of calamity and the day of wrath and the day of God's wrath and the day of Jacob's trouble and some other things. But in every case, it deals with the nation of Israel. So you'll hear me say often, God is working two programs, one for the church. The church is gone, and then God once again begins to deal with the second program he's working, the nation of Israel. Now, I don't know how much some of you study all of this. I'm not a prophecy fanatic, to be honest. I'm not. But I do study theology. And a lot of Reformed theology believes in what we refer to as replacement theology. And they say and they teach that the church has replaced Israel. Well, when you read this and you look at this, and hopefully we'll get through most of it tonight. If not, we'll finish it next week. God is not finished with Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. Now, I'm in the bride. I'm in the church. I'm not Israel. So I'm gone, but once I'm gone at the rapture, then God begins one more time to deal with the nation of Israel. So go take your, well, you don't have to, I'll just quote it. One of the best known, maybe the best known name that Jesus used for it when he was giving his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 is this. He said, "For then shall great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." That's the most common phrase, the great tribulation. I've never discussed end times with somebody and says, you know, the time of Jacob's trouble. That hardly ever is. I shouldn't say never. I have done it a few times, I'm sure. But as a rule, the name that we use is tribulation. Now, referring to the second half of the tribulation, that seven-year period of time, it is most severe time that the world has ever known or ever will know. Now, there's a few other views of when the rapture will happen. I take a pre-tribulation rapture, but there's a mid-tribulation rapture. There's a pre-wrath rapture. There is a post-tribulation rapture. Those are the four most common. But the mid-tribbers push the distress of the time of horrible persecution of the saints and the tribulation of the world to the second half of the tribulation, and they believe they're gone before the real tribulation actually happens. Well, post-tribbers seem to soften the severity of the prophecies of the entire period and make them less than the trying time that they are actually going to be. But it is hard to see how the killing of half of the world's population and about maybe a billion martyred Christians can be anything but a time of enormous distress. And I mean distress unlike anything that the world has ever seen. So I don't see how you can say that. Escaping the period is a pre-tribulation rapture position is one reason why it qualifies to be called what? Our blessed hope. It's our blessed hope. To understand the tribulation period, though, as described in Revelation, it is important that you understand the special day in God's plan for his nation Israel. And so you look at Daniel chapter 9, the verses that we read, verses 24 to 27, and Daniel's 70 weeks of years. Now in Daniel 9, I want you to take your Bible and just turn back a little bit to Jeremiah chapter 25. I'm going to read a couple verses there in a moment. But in Daniel 9, it reveals that after the nation of Israel has been in captivity about 69 years or so, Daniel was studying the prophetic word of God. And he saw in Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12, we'll read in a moment, that Israel would serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Now notice what he said there in verse 11 and 12 of Jeremiah 25. "And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and those nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." Now, if you go back to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, Daniel reveals that after the nation of Israel has been in captivity, Daniel is studying here. Now look at what he says in chapter 9 and verse 2, if you're back there. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years." So Daniel is studying, which every Christian ought to do is study, "whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that it would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So he was studying back there in Jeremiah chapter 25. So after the Persians had conquered the Babylonians. Now at this point, Daniel begins to pray. And he confesses his sins. And he confesses the sins of the nation of Israel. And you read that where you read between verses 3 and verse 19. And after that, after Daniel has been studying and after he prays to the Lord answers Daniel's prayer. Now the Lord sends an angel, Gabriel. Gabriel is the coolest angel in all of the Bible. He gets to make all the really good announcements. But anyway, if you look down there, look at verse 22 and 23. "And he informed me and talked with me and said," see, in verse 21, you find out it's Gabriel, but anyway, "and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill in understanding." So Daniel is going to get this knowledge or wisdom from Gabriel. "At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." So Daniel's going to get to understand some of this. Now when we come to verse 24, the exact vision that we read about between verses 24 through verse 27 is the vision that was given to Daniel. Now I want you to look back at verse 24 just for a moment, because I keep saying God's not done with Israel. 70 years are determined upon thy people. Who is the group of people that Daniel would you say are his people? Israel. That's exactly right. And upon thy holy city. And what is the holy city? Jerusalem. So when President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, I thought it was one of the greatest moves any president in the history of any country has ever done, and especially our country, America. And but so now, Jerusalem, you ever notice how every, you know when people war over in the Middle East, you know everybody wants that piece of property right there, more specifically Temple Mount. If you look at the Temple Mount, you've got the whole Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you got the Dome of the Rock, and you've got the Jews in charge of part of it, and you've got the Arabs part of it, in charge of another part of it, and it's just, everybody wants that piece of property. And they've put, Islam has put some concrete in some of the gates, you know, so when Jesus comes back, he can't walk through the Eastern Gate. Yeah, that's really going to stop him, right? But anyway, they've actually done that stuff, and it's kind of bizarre. But anyway, so Daniel is given this prophecy. So if it's his people, Israel, and it's his holy city, Jerusalem, then I have to totally disagree with Reformed theology that says, that teaches replacement theology, and that means that the church has replaced Israel and God is done with Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel is on the shelf, I'll give you that. But one day God will be dealing with the nation of Israel again. So all of the replacement theology that says that, I don't buy it. Now, then we have this 70 weeks that's kind of wordy. You'll come across this again, by the way, in Revelation, I think, chapter 12. But notice it says 70 weeks are determined upon, it mentions it again, thy people. So this is a prophecy for Israel. Now, the word weeks means years. In Hebrew, it's like shabbat would be the word. It could be 7 days, 7 months, because it means units. But here it means years. It can mean all of those things, but it means units. The context indicates what period of seven is in view. Now, I'm going to give you four good reasons that the sevens here indicate period of years, or 70 times seven. First of all, Daniel has been concerned with years. Now, if you'll look back at verses 1 and 2, he says in the first year of Darius, and then he said in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel. So he's been talking about years. That would seem to fit the context. It's difficult to fit all of the events between verses 24 and verse 27 into 490 days or weeks, you know, that would only be, what, a little over 9 times 4? So a little over 9 years. I mean, it just doesn't seem like you could fit all that in there. Thirdly, the only other place where Daniel used the word weeks, he qualifies it by adding the word days, and that's in Daniel 10, verses 2 and 3. And then fourthly, the fact that verse 27 speaks of a covenant being broken at the halfway point of the 70th seven agrees with Daniel 7 and Daniel 12 and Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. And when you get over there, it talks about days and all that, which speak of 3.5 years as a half of a week. So 3.5 years in the tribulation would be the middle point of the 7-year tribulation period. So it seems to be talking about years. I think it's obvious. Now, what is being said here is God has determined a period of 490 years to accomplish 6 key events on behalf of Israel. Look there at verse 24 again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now you look at these 6 things. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Has that happened? To make an end of sins. Has that happened? If you think it has, you're not living in the same world I am. I can tell you that right now. And make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Has that happened? Do we have everlasting righteousness? to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy? Has Jesus been anointed in the millennium as king yet? So those things haven't happened. So those things, those six things, you know, you're looking at prophecy. It's pretty obvious. Three of them are negative. Three of them are positive. By the way, we have a similar expression in English. If I go to the store and I say, I'm going to go get a dozen. Well, I'm going to get a dozen of what? I'm going to get a dozen bananas. My wife ordered 9 bananas one day from Walmart. They sent her 9 bundles. What was it? 9 dozen or 9 bundles? 9 bundles of bananas. And I'm carrying all these bananas in the house. And I'm like, what did she order all these bananas for? And finally, which she wondered why they said so many bananas. They didn't charge us for them. She was giving, Emmett likes bananas. I mean, we're giving bananas away. But so we would say a dozen. But you don't know a dozen of what? Is it a dozen days? Is it a dozen weeks? Is it a dozen years? What is it a dozen of? Now, these 7 weeks are literally 7 units of 7, or 490 years. Then we notice 3 divisions. Now, I want you to look at verse 25. That's verse 24. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth unto the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, that's how many? How many is 62? 62. Okay. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now, a study of Jewish history reveals that from the going forth of the decree of Cyrus, it took Jews under both Ezra and Nehemiah 49 years to complete the building of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And if it's 7 times 7, that would be how many? 49, okay? 49 years to complete the building of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. If you read the book of Nehemiah and you read the book of Esther, you'll figure that out. The next section is 62. That's 62. So 62 plus 7 is how many? 69 weeks. Okay, there's still 1 week left to go, but that's 69 weeks. Those are fulfilled years already. Those 69 weeks are history. The last is the 70th week. 1 week, 7 years, 1 times 7 is 7 years. Now, what can get a little confusing is the commandments that are 4 of them in the book of Ezra, and or the degrees, if you want to call it that, in Ezra and Nehemiah. There is the decree of Cyrus in Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4, is the one to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It took 49 years. It seems that the one that Artaxerxes gave out, and I do believe this, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, which I'm going to read here in a little bit, so if you want to turn there, you can, fulfills the one from after the walls have been rebuilt and the crucifixion of Jesus, where it says Messiah is cut off, is 62 weeks. And I will tell you something. I'm going to mention this in a minute. It is quite amazing how those dates fit exactly. This second period, which is 434 years, 62 times 7, predicts the times of trouble, and you know that is accurate. It was a period of silence from God. You've probably heard of, once the last prophet spoke, there was the 400 silent years. Well, for 434 years about in there, there was silence from God until John the Baptist came on the scene. It was a time of weakness for the nation of Israel, which by the time Christ came on the scene, Israel was dominated by Roman rule. Now, this period is predicted to end, if you look at verse 26, the first part, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So that part of that prophecy ended when Jesus was crucified. Now, sir, and I have never heard anybody refute this ever. Sir Robert Anderson wrote a book called The Coming Prince, and he shows that Christ coming into Jerusalem the Sunday before his crucifixion exactly came at exactly the right time. Now look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Let's read that. Nehemiah, Esther, there we go. I want to read the first 8 verses. So there are 4 of those commandments between Ezra and Nehemiah, but you got to make sure you get the right ones. Nehemiah chapter 2. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city of the place of my father's sepulchres lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now that was one of those, okay, Lord, I need an answer now. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me and set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter was sent unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, and he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter in. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And so now, here's a question I can't answer. Why are these 483 years divided? Why does it not just say 69? Because I've never heard a good reason that explains to me, that satisfies me. I've heard reasons, but they don't really. Sometimes you hear things and people say, this is it, but it's just like, well, I'm not really convinced of that so much. But anyway, it is clear, and I do want you to understand this, the 69 weeks run together. The 49 and then the 430-some, they do run in together. But they are broken up in Daniel's prophecy into those 2 sections. So, go back to Daniel chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 9. In verse 26, after 62 weeks, assumes that the first 7 weeks have already happened. So now you're at 69 weeks. So after 69 weeks, Messiah is cut off. So there is a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week that does not deal with Daniel's people or the holy city, Jerusalem. It deals with who? The church. So I was teaching this once in church. Brother Heflin comes up to me and says, Pastor, I didn't realize you were a gapper. Because some people put a gap in the Bible between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And I said, what are you talking? How'd you get that out of that sermon? He says, well, you got a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week, so you must be a gapper. I said, I get it, whatever. So, but there is a gap there, and that gap there is the church age. So there is a gap that does not deal with Israel. It deals with the church, and you and I, we're in that gap. Now, Daniel used a calculation of time based upon prophetical years, which is hard to figure out sometimes. There are 360 days in a prophetical year. Our calendar has 365 days in it. So when they go back and try to figure out the exact birthday for the Savior, it's impossible. Now, I don't think it's off much, maybe 3-4 years, but it's off a little bit. Because when Herod wanted all babies killed, he wasn't sure exactly when Jesus was born, so he said, you know, up to 2 years. So they didn't use 365 solar years, days, they used 360 days, prophetical days, which is the same calculation used when you get to Revelation chapter 12. So the Messiah being cut off obviously refers to the crucifixion of Jesus, probably Probably. Okay, I didn't say dogmatically. April 3rd on the year 33. Now, the time span from Artaxerxes' decree to rebuild the city in March of 444 BC covered 483 prophetic years. That calculation agrees perfectly with the solar with our calendars if you do the math. So Daniel predicted that 483 prophetic years would lapse until Messiah is cut off, and the final is yet to be determined. So you can't date anything exactly. But the 1 week that is left, and we can't certainly date when Jesus is going to take us off the earth. But I say, even so, come Lord Jesus. But the 1 week that is left, those 7 years, predicts, look at verse 27 now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is a 7 year period. That is the 7 year tribulation period, okay? The covenant covers 7 years, has not been made since the crucifixion of Christ, but in the covenant that will be made in the days of Antichrist. Now, people were getting all nervous when President Trump signed a covenant with Israel and the UAE and some other countries in there. That's not the Antichrist peace treaty, okay? People were getting kind of nervous and jerky about all that, but I think it's leading up to something like that. But all of this stuff has to happen. All of this stuff, if God said it, it's going to happen. Whether we believe it or not, it's going to happen. So even though he will break the covenant, the Antichrist, in the midst of the 7 years, it will be part of the period of time that Gabriel predicted would be back in verse 24 when he begins to talk to Daniel. So the first two periods of those 70 units of time, total 483 years, is past. There's a gap, and we're in the gap, and there's a week to go. Now, 1 week of Israel's prophetically determined history has been accomplished. The final period of time in history that the people of God are referred to is referred to as, notice it said, desolate in there. Now, the latter part of verse 26, it says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." It indicates that there will be a period of time of interruption in this prophetic calendar, and this Christian dispensation of time is God's grace to the Gentiles. And I'm glad I live in this dispensation, I'll tell you that. In Isaiah 61 and verse 2, it says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Listen, we're blessed to live now, but the day of vengeance of our God resumes God's prophetic calendar for Israel, called the 70th week of Daniel, or the tribulation period. Now, let me close with a few thoughts. The first thought I want to close with is this: man is not going to destroy the earth or the world. Now, there is so much talk about humans destroying the world from groups like out in California, like PETA, and the politicians that believe in all this global warming and we've got to save the earth. And PETA believes if people die, it would be the best thing that could happen for the earth because we're the biggest problem. And they really believe that. They're nuts, but that's what they believe. But listen, God will take care of destroying the earth when he's ready. It won't happen because God predicts 7 years in the future that are destined for his people, Israel, and those 7 years are prophetical years. And so guess what? They haven't happened yet. And if God said they're going to happen, they're going to happen. So my neighbor is one of these guys who, when it comes to the election, we were talking about it one day, and I began to list the things the way I vote, what I look at. Finally, he says to me, "Don't you care about the environment?" And I thought, well, kind of. I said, "It's not number one on my list." And he's an older gentleman, probably maybe pushing 70. He really believes the biggest issue on earth today and that we need to make happen is the new Green Deal. I mean, he is nuts, but he really believes that. So that was his question to me after I list Israel first and getting out of that Iranian deal and we got to have a strong military and blah, 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 blah. And finally he says, "Don't you care about the environment?" And I'm like, it's not number one on my list. But it's number one on his list. I wish I would have been quick. I'm not the quickest guy on my feet all the time. I wish I were a little quicker, a little wittier. But I wish I'd have said, God's going to take care of that. Don't you worry about it. God'll wipe out what's going on the earth. So humans are not going to destroy the earth. And because there are 7 years prophecy still to happen. So when you get to Revelation chapter 6, you begin to notice all the things that happen that Daniel said are going to happen. And those six things in verse 24, they are going to happen. They're not going to happen today or tomorrow, but they are going to happen. God said they're going to happen. And therefore, his people Israel and for his holy city. By the way, when Jesus comes back at a second advent, I don't mean the rapture, but when Jesus comes back at the second advent, where does he physically go? The Mount of Olives. You know how far of a walk it is from the Mount of Olives up into the Temple Mount? It's just down the little hill across the Kidron Valley and up. That's it. He's coming back to Jerusalem. And I don't know. People, we're not going to destroy the earth, but it's going to happen. So we'll begin to look at Revelation 6 here shortly. Father, these days are important. These years are important. Daniel's prophecy, the whole book of Daniel is important for us to understand if we're going to get a really good grip on the tribulation period and all these things that are yet to happen. And I pray, God, that you would help us to realize we have a blessed hope. Jesus comes back. Once the Antichrist, and they sign that peace treaty with Israel, whenever that's going to happen, we're raptured off this earth. We are a privileged people, and I thank you. And may everybody here be thankful that we have a blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen.